I want to just read to you a scripture, and I just want to share a couple thoughts with you that I'm going to do for the next few weeks together on this subject of future families. Next Sunday is Father's Day, and I'm just so thankful and proud of all the dads here. No matter what stage of life you are in as a father, every one of us, including myself, God has more and better that we could do. We could act out on a regular basis. This scripture in Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him." I don't ever want you to forget that. God works good. He works all things. He doesn't create all things, but he works good out of all things for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And if you have given your life to Jesus, you've been called to God's purpose. He goes on, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." Verse 31, it says, "And what shall we say? What then shall we say in response to all of these things?" To what things? What I just said. That he works good to those that love him, no matter where you are in life today, no matter what you're facing or what you've just gone through, he's working something good out of it. He said, what shall we say in response to these things? That you've been called to a purpose, every single one of you. What shall we say to response to these things? That God foreknew you before you were even born. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in a womb, I knew you." So he says, those who he predestined, he called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he glorified. What shall we say in response to all these things? That if God be for us, hey, listen, look up here. Nothing can be against you. If God be for us, nothing can be against you. If God be for us, I'm going to preach myself happy up in here. I said, nothing can be against you today. God's for you. He's on your side. He's working on your behalf. He's working the plan out. He's taking the things that frustrate you and hurt you and make you want to contemplate things that you shouldn't do. And if you'll trust him with it, he's going to work something beautiful for you in that whole thing. And he doesn't have favorites. He said, he told Jeremiah, "Before I formed you, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you." The psalmist said in Psalm 139, he said, "I formed you, for you were formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance." So much for people saying that a baby isn't alive when it's conceived. When that baby is conceived, there is immediate life there. God says, "I saw even the unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet none of them were." Do you think when I was living on that mechanic street in South Byron that I had a clue that I'd be standing up here today, just having a beautiful time of worship together? I have family here, and by the way, my son Ben, he's out. They're out 3 weeks. My grandson Gabe is a star basketball player who's on this traveling basketball, and they've been going all over the state, and they play their games on Sunday, which I don't like, but I am so proud of him for the things that he is doing for his future as well. But I never had any idea that these things were going to take place. But the Bible says that the days that were formed for me, They were already written now, and that some of us, we don't even know yet because we haven't made the commitment to Christ to begin to walk in the direction that he's called us to. But can I tell you today, when you and I begin to walk in that direction, when we give Jesus our lives and we begin to move in that plan that he has for us, he then begins to unfold these pages of the book that have been written for us, and we begin to walk in the plan that he has so beautifully woven for each and every one of our lives. And every one of you, for every one of us, it's something different. Everyone, my three children, my grandchildren, they all, I see characteristics in all of them. All the good looks, obviously, we know where that came from. I mean, I can't get nothing out of you this morning. But they're all different because God has made each one of them. They have their own particular DNA, their own fingerprint. Something is unique, and they will live out their lives serving the Lord, doing something very incredible for the Lord. So I want you to think about that, because God, he presents you and I with options every day of our lives, that we can make choices. I can go this way, or I can make a decision and go that way. Now, even if I make the wrong decision and I begin to head in the wrong direction, God's grace and his kindness will always come upon my life at different moments. He'll say, here I am. Come on this way. Walk with me. I'm giving you this opportunity. And maybe you're here today and you're struggling in your life. I was speaking with an individual this week that said, I'm just existing. Stop just existing. Stop just getting up and say, oh, another day, you know, I got to do this or I got to do that. Start living a life that God says I have planned and created for you. Because when you do that, nothing will take the place of the greatness that he will do in and through your life. Come on, can I get one amen this morning? So I want to sow these things into your life over the next few weeks. I just want to drop two of them in your heart this morning, and then I want to partake of communion together. Number one, you got to learn to create some margin in your life. You're okay, Andy. Thank you so much. You have to learn to create margin in your life and in your family. Psalm 46:10 says, he says, be still and know that I am the Lord. Sometimes people were so busy and we're running wall to wall every moment and every minute of our lives that we have no margin in our lives for God to do anything unique that he wants to create and that he wants to do for us. This book called Margin by Dr. Richard Swenson says it like this. He says, margin is the space between our load and our limits. That's a great analogy, isn't it? It is the amount allowed beyond that which is needed. It is something held in reserve for contingencies or unanticipated situations. Margin is the gap between rest and exhaustion, the space between breathing freely and suffocating. That is pretty incredible, isn't it? And if you and I had a little, like a little LED light bulb in our life that every time when we started getting full, that it would begin to blink and tell us, you got to stop, you got to slow down. That would be great, but we don't. Thus, we need to be cognizant about how we schedule our lives. And if we are that busy, that we may be missing some opportunities that God has put in our lives. Now, let me tell you something. Margin is not just for you to do more of what you want to do. Margin is when you open up your life to allow God to do what he wants to do in you. And when you and I have that margin in our lives, then we discover all the things that God has wanted to give to you and I. Margin is about living life to the full, living the life that Jesus promised to you and I. If we live a life with margins in it, it does not guarantee that our lives either will be free of problems. In this world, brothers and sisters, you will have trouble. But Jesus said, don't worry about it. It's here today, gone tomorrow. He said, I've overcome all of those issues. Margins will give you peace. Margin will allow you to nurture your relationship with God and with others. Margin will help you to have spare energy in your life so that you can do the things that God puts in your life. If your life is so tied up and so busy doing so many things, and God all of a sudden, he brings this opportunity before you, and you can't because I'm just too busy. You and I need more. We need margin in our lives. It'll give you spare time to handle situations that may come that you didn't anticipate. It'll even help you to create spare money so you can be generous, and not just generous to people that are in deep need. You can be generous to whoever. Get in the line at Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks and buy people behind you. Live a life of margin. Go away from being a blessing with a great smile on your face. You'll have less anxiety. It'll give you mental space for creativity in your life. It'll give you time to reflect on really what matters and to practice awareness and have a depth of gratitude in your life. And margin does not make less time for God and more time for you. It actually creates more time for God and more time for you. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first his kingdom. Number one, seek God in his kingdom, his purposes and his plans for your life. And then everything else will be added unto you. And we get it backwards sometimes. We think, well, I got to cut God out. I want to do this, so I'm going to do it when it should be God time. And when we do that, we lose the balance that God has called for our lives. Sometimes adding to your life means subtracting something in your life. I want you to think about that. What is that for you? Several years ago, I became a part of many boards around the county. Everybody, they wanted me on their board. And to be honest with you, I became a part of it, and it fed my ego. I thought, well, you know, I'm pastor. I should be on this, you know, whatever. And I came to a point in my life, I didn't have an inch of room to breathe. And one day, it just came to me, I'm dropping it. And I got off half or two-thirds of them. You know what happened? I created margin in my life, and what they were doing continued on without me. For some of you, you're connected with things that you think that if you're not there, it's, you know, the world is going to fall apart. And nothing could be further from the truth. You need margin in your life. The second thing is, you need to create routines in your life. And the Bible says in Luke 4, verse 16, Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, his routine, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. This is an important part that we need to recognize in the life of Jesus. We need the house of God, the people of God, in our lives. Somebody said to me, you know, just a few weeks ago, I don't know about church. It's just so full of just imperfect, weird people. I looked at him and I said, you're exactly right. And you're one of them. No, I left that part out. That was in my mind, though. I said, that's what church is about. We come together. We come under the canopy of God's plan and his love for our lives. We hear the word of God. We worship together. We hear songs like, I surrender all. And in our spirit, we begin to obey that. And it brings us closer to the purposes and the plans that God has for our lives. And that's why it's so important to be a part of a family of God. Imperfect, yes. But blessed, forgiven, favored, has a great destiny, better than anything going? Absolutely, yes. Don't make the purposes and the plans that God has for your life an option. Make them part of your routine on a regular basis. Listen to me. Routine is something that you repeat thousands of times. This afternoon, I will be going to my youngest grandson, Andrew's graduation. He is receiving his black belt today. Believe it or not, that little guy. Amen. And I went to some of his testing this weekend. I mean, they are brutal. I mean, it's hours and hours, and they have to remember all these things. And I remember he's been doing it for 5 years now. I remember when I first went to it, and I watched him, and I'm thinking, I felt bad for him because you got to do this, you got to do that. You bow down. You got to say thank you, yes, sir, no, sir, and all these things. And I'm looking at him and saying, that poor little boy, he's so sweet, he's so good. And then when I went this weekend, I'm looking, he is a master. He's breaking boards with his feet. I mean, two or three different ways. He's smashing through boards with his, I couldn't do it. That little guy, he gets back there, winds up, boom, and snaps that board in half. Watch out, don't mess with my grandsons. But you know how that happened? Through routine. Not one or two times, I don't want to do it. Uh-uh. Get back there. You're going to do this. And I think about that right through our lives. When you have routines in your life, it'll change the setting of some of the vision in your life, and it'll establish what you want your future to look like. Maybe some of you have poor routines in your life now. Some of you need a change in that. For some of you, maybe you don't have a job, and you're wondering how to get a job, but you're sleeping in every day, and you're just, whatever comes, it comes. No. God says, I want you to practice this routine, because when you do, spiritual blessings from above come to your life. And it'll help you in many ways. It'll help you increase the efficiency of your life. It'll help you to revisit some patterns and purposes that you've been doing on a regular basis that are unhealthy for your life. It'll improve your mental health. Let me tell you something. Disorganization breeds chaos, and in turn breeds stress, and it will bring undue, unwanted mental disorder to your life. Get the junk out of your life. Get into a healthy routine and let God shape you into what he wants for your life. Amen. Parents, make sure you do this with your children. I know it's summer. Oh, honey, you got to have a time. You got to rest and relax. I get all that. But you let them rest and relax about 2 days, and then you, time to get up. Let's get going. We got to get into the routine. Got to get going. I'm so glad that when my boys were growing up, that we had animals and they'd have to get up every day, go feed them. I don't never have to call them now and wonder if any one of them are going to get up in the morning, because it became such a routine of their life. They automatically are up and they are moving and going and producing every single day. Amen. Routines bring healthy structure to your life. Routines will release you to have the downtime that you want. Routines will help bad habits to dwindle. Listen, the enemy of a consistent routine is a life full of bad habits. Now, I know some of you this morning, you were hoping that there'd be gold dust falling down from the ceiling. There'd be smoke coming in the sides, and there'd be this holy whatever coming across the building. Let me tell you something. You'll get that when you get into a routine of obeying and serving God on a regular basis in your life. And short-term pleasure may leave you feeling comfortable, but long-term routine in your life and margins in your life will lead you into the destiny that God has for you. And one of the most important moments of your life in routines is your morning. How do you start your morning? Do you just start, oh, God, I got to get up again? Or do you fly out of bed, lay your feet on the floor and say, devil, look out, I'm coming for you today. Start your morning with the Bible, with prayer, with great coffee. Amen. I just threw that in there. Some of you need to get in the routine. You know, I never thought when my oldest son told me about going to the gym, I said, you are out of your mind. Now, it's a part of my routine on a regular basis. I think about the routines that I have in my life now that I never used to have and how much they are a part of my life every day. It'll help you with your work, to be diligent, to be honest, It'll help you in your family to have time with your spouse, time with your kids. It'll help you at mealtime. And I understand it's a different season and a different time that we're living in that we used to live in, you know, 40, 50, 60 years ago. Everybody is going a different way. But if you get in a routine and you know sometimes where you're all going to get together, you're going to eat a meal, you're going to talk, you're going to have a covenant practice together in your home, these type of routines, they'll launch you into having the family that you only dreamed of having. Even in your sleep, start the right process and have the right, and you'll get the right results. And in particular, a routine in our worship. Listen to this. Acts 17:2, the Bible says, Paul went in as was his custom. And on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures. God and church is not an option that we marginalize out of our lives. It's an option that we bring in and we allow it to become a routine in our lives. And when we do that, let me tell you something. God will move you in that direction. He's not mad at anybody today. If your life is all jacked up and you don't know what direction you're going, submit your heart and your life to God. Watch him do something great in you. He changes you, the Bible says, from glory to glory, moment by moment, day by day, week by week. You'll continually change into the image and into the likeness of who Jesus has called and made you to be. Amen. Come on. Do you believe it and receive it today? I want those that are going to help me with communion, if you'd come now. Before we partake in communion, I just want you to open up your heart to him this morning. Maybe something was said this morning that maybe your life is, you have no margins. You have no routine. You just fly by the seat of your pants. I hear that people, so what do you, I don't know. I'm just, you know, we're just whatever. God wants to help you bring some things into order in your life. Make him first place in your life. When you receive the bread and the cup this morning, I want you to hold it and wait, and we'll all partake together. This is an important moment in our lives too. This is a moment of reset in our lives, where you bring the things that are a challenge in your life, you bring them to God right now. When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it and wait, and we'll all partake together. But what a moment this can be in your life and in mine. When we don't let the hindrances of our past to rule our lives any longer, we remember what he has done for us. We begin to move in that direction, in that plan, in the purposes that he has for our lives. And we do what he's asking us to do. He's not mad at you. Sometimes people think God is upset at him because he's moving you in a direction, and for some of you, it's difficult to make that turn, make that change. Let me tell you something. If you're going to follow God, it's going to cause you to leave your old nature behind and move into a direction for God to demonstrate his plan and his purpose for your life. What a moment this will be for some of you. For some of you, you need to reset. Maybe you've not given your life to Christ. You need to do that. Do it. If you're going to partake in communion this morning, make sure you do that. Say yes to Jesus. Ask him to be the Lord and the Savior of your life. If you're away from him this morning, let this be a moment of reset in your life. Just tell him, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming home, God. I want everything you have for me. He knows where you've been. He knows everything about you. He's not upset. He loves you. He's saying, follow me. Follow me. There's some younger people in here today. You've got a lot of life ahead of you. I implore you, follow after Jesus. even as the song Andy's playing, I surrender all. Just say those words to him. You're holding the bread and the cup. Just tell him, I surrender all to you, Lord God, today. I praise you, Lord. When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it. Just close your eyes. Talk to God just for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Is there anybody that was not served that desires to be served? Raise your hand. Is there anyone else? Amy, right there. Anyone else? Raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that blood was shed to cover the sin that God's people would commit. There's always needed to be a sacrifice of blood for sin. In the New Testament, Jesus not only covers our sin, but the Bible says he takes sin away. The scripture says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Through the death and the shedding of blood of Jesus Christ, he has taken away your sin and mine. When we ask him to be our Savior and our Lord, the Bible says in the night in which Christ himself was betrayed, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, he gave it. He said, this is my body, which has been broken for you. Take it, eat it, every one of you, and remember what I have done for you. Let's partake of the bread of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. The Bible says in the same way he took the cup, he said, this is my blood. Isaiah, 700 years before, said he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Today, I believe with all of my heart, as we partake in the cup, Jesus said, this is the New Testament, my blood. I believe that God is going to set some people free, some captives free. I believe with all of my heart, if you're here today and you're sick in your body, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, right now, say, here I am, God. I believe you for healing in my body. The Bible says he took the cup, he blessed it, he gave thanks. He said, this is the new covenant, my blood. When you drink it, remember what I have done. Let's partake of the cup of the Lord as we do. Remember his sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer team, come to the altar if you would. I'm going to close in prayer. This morning, if you need anything from God, need somebody to agree with you and pray with you, make sure you come to the front before you leave today. Spirit of the living God, let's pray together. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on every life here today. Lord, for some in families, there's a struggle. There's a pain. There's a hurt that's been taking place. I pray that today you'll restore that. You'll heal that. You'll make new. You'll launch us to the future of what you have created for us. We give you praise for that. I pray strength over every life today, hope and peace over every family, every individual. I ask today, in the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said amen. I love you. Go in God's grace. You need prayer? You come on down to the front. Let these folks pray over you. Believe God with you. Say hi to two or three on the way out. Have an incredible rest of the day today.